And the rest of us, we will stay here in Mark chapter 11. And as you're looking in your Bible to Mark chapter 11, just want to let y'all know how much I appreciate Larry being available to fill in for me while I'm gone. And I listened to his sermon, and he did a good job bringing the word, so continue to encourage him. Just more testimony that we're not done serving the Lord until he says we're done serving the Lord. Amen? That's usually by the time he calls us home. So no matter what your calling is or what you got going on in your life, the Lord is calling us to serve and be ready to serve. So I praise the Lord for what he's doing with Larry, not only here at the church, but also in the place where he lives. He's got a lot of ministry going on over there, and the Lord's doing great things, so we'll give God the glory for that. My wife and I are still got a little echo in my microphone. My wife and I are glad to be home with y'all, and we missed y'all. 3,221 miles just to get the barbecue pressure under control. So it really wasn't for that reason. You guys know we went over there to take care of some family business and just take a little break for a little while. And the Lord was good to us the whole time, so we thank you for your prayers, and we're ready to see what the Lord has for us as we go forward. And speaking of prayers, I know that y'all are some praying people. I'm fully aware of that. Getting to know y'all over the last several years, I've been pleased to recognize that you guys not only pray regularly, but you eagerly pray for people. And you want to know what to do and how to help and what to take to the Lord. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, because some of what me and the Lord have been discussing for the last couple of weeks on my mini sabbatical, I guess you would call it, had to do with what's going on or what's not going on, or where to go, how to go, how to do it, direction, how to get things where God wants them to be, and just kind of get my bearings again. And that's sometimes what you got to do. And a lot of what the Lord laid on my heart had to do with me talking to him and listening to him, right? And that's like the most powerful thing a Christian can do in their entire walk with Christ, is to talk to him. Not only for themselves, but and not only for other folks, but for the mission at hand, for the journey that we're assigned to make disciples, right? The most powerful thing you can do for another person is take them to the Lord. Would y'all agree with that? Okay, so we need to focus, make that, I think that we need to focus and make that the focus of our ministry. Everything be not only touched with prayer, but drowned with prayer, bathed in prayer, consumed with prayer. Even when, if we think we've prayed enough, we should pray some more about whatever we're doing and whatever the cases are, whatever the needs might be, or just praising him and being grateful kind of prayers, right? There's all kinds of reasons to pray to God. There's all kinds of reasons to talk to him. And let's not forget, the second half of prayer is listening to him, right? So sometimes we make the mistake and don't listen. And I've been guilty from time to time of not being able to shut the mouth off long enough to hear what God is saying to me, and then wondering why God's not responding, and he's saying, when you're finished, I'll communicate with you, right? And I don't really think God talks to me like that, but that's the way I talk to my son, so I figured maybe he'll treat me the same way. when my son was frustrated, I'm just like, okay, when you're done, we'll talk. I think the Lord may have that same interaction with me at times. So look, we're going to pray real quick here, and then we're going to talk about Mark chapter 11. We're going to talk about the ministry here at the church, I hope. We're going to talk about the ministry in your home, and we're going to talk about whatever else the Lord leads us to talk about. So let's pray together, and then we'll go. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your presence that's guaranteed. That's always, you're always faithful. You're never leaving us. You've never abandoned us, Lord. Help us, Lord, today as we look into this word and as we talk about you and we talk about how we communicate with you, that we would just absorb what we read and what we discuss, and we would just soak it in and chew on it and let your Spirit have his way in our hearts with this truth, and then ask you what to do with it, and then go do it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the blessings of this day and the blessings of our lives. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for tending to the needs of those on our prayer list. Lord, we praise you for all of it. We thank you for the ones who are going to come into our presence that might need to know you, and we would be used by you as your hands and feet to love them in the way that only you can. Help us, Lord, to do those things, and help us to be faithful, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Dr. Curtis Hudson, you can look up who he is, said this: there is more that you can do after you pray, but there is nothing you can do until you pray. Right? And how many of, don't raise your hand, I don't want you to answer this out loud, you and the Lord talk about this, but how many of us are guilty of trying to figure out problems or find answers or solve issues or get through stress or overcome dilemmas before we talk to God? You know, and then when we run out of our own resources, then we finally say, let me talk to God about this. I hope that's not our habit. I hope that's not who we are or what we do. Another man named Hudson Taylor, this guy's a missionary to China back in the day, years ago. He says the prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. The power of prayer, in other words, he's saying the power of prayer is never, nobody's ever reached the full capacity of the power in prayer. Doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that give you some hope for your prayer life and the things that you're bringing to God? He says, if we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge: call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So this missionary to China is reminding us of God's challenge. God is instructing us to call on him, to come to him and talk to him. And he's saying, it's a promise, it's a guarantee. I will answer the prayer, God says. Isn't that great, y'all? It's just, we could just sit in here and just say, God answers prayer. And just sit here and be quiet and let the Lord bless us with that truth. We're not going to do that because I got more to say, but we could do that. Right? We could just be blessed by the fact that God is hearing us and answering us. Here's another quote by nobody knows who it is. Nothing lies outside the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. Hello? Remember that quote, because that might come into play as we read our scripture this morning. Anything that's outside the will of God is outside the reach of prayer. In other words, if God doesn't want me to have a helicopter, then he's not going to answer that prayer like I want him to. Hello? You see me having a helicopter? No, I have no helicopter. Doesn't mean I haven't asked for one. I don't have one because it's not the will of God at this point in my life. Silly illustration, but it's the truth. There's some more serious things you can think of. Look at your prayer life and evaluate. Sometimes it's good to just sit in your quiet place and evaluate your prayer list, the things that you've talked to God about over the years. And ask yourself, is what I'm saying to God, or what I'm bringing to the cross, or what I'm laying at his feet, is it something that would fall within his will? And if you don't know the answer to that, then we need more Bible study, don't we? The only way to know the will of God is to study the Word of God. Everything in life, God addresses in his Word. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that God hasn't spoken to. We just need to pursue a life living in his will, and then we begin to have what James considers prayers of righteous people that are powerful, right? Don't you want your prayers to be powerful when you're praying for your friends and neighbors and your family and your preacher? Hello? I want your prayers to be powerful when you're talking to God over me. Just like you want my prayers to be powerful when I'm talking to God over you. When we go to the Lord over each other, or over the world as a whole, over the mission at hand, which is making disciples, don't we want our prayers to be as powerful as God wants them to be? And if we haven't reached the fullness of that power, then the sky is the limit, isn't it, when it comes to the power of prayer? If I ask this congregation or any other congregation in the world, wouldn't you like the congregation that you serve with to be a powerful congregation in the kingdom of God? You would say, yeah, everybody would say, amen, that's what we're here for. That's what I want. We want to make a difference in the world for the kingdom. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what God wants us to want? Isn't that what we're in line with when it comes to God's will? It's God's will that all would be saved. That's what God says. I want all of y'all to be saved. But God also knows that he's not going to force that on anybody. Because forced love is not genuine love. So we go out and get as many as we can that will come. Have you ever been discouraged before about evangelism? About your friends and your neighbors and your family members who aren't saved? You ever been discouraged about maybe the loved ones that have been on our prayer list here at the church seems like forever, and that nothing seems to be changing? It can get discouraging if we're not careful, can it? There's something important that we're missing if we live in that discouragement. If we live in that place where we feel like God's not answering, or we feel like our prayers are not powerful, there's something that we're overlooking or missing or need to grow into, or whatever the case might be. So I want to talk to you about chapter 11 in Mark. Jesus has come in. This is Palm Sunday. Jesus has come into town. Everybody celebrates him as the King of the Jews. And then he goes and starts cleaning house in the temple. That's what's happening in chapter 11. I'm pretty sure you've all read that. Let's read, picking up from verse 12, and let's read a little bit. Verse 12 talks, you may have to look it up in your Bible. I didn't realize that was going to be that small. Verse 12 says, "The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs." Verse 14 says, "Then he said to the tree," it's what Jesus talks to this tree, he says, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. That's a key point in the lesson that we're hopefully about to learn here. Imagine you're following Jesus around the world. You've left everything you know, right? You've just abandoned your family and everything you know, and you're walking, you're following this dude, and he starts talking to a tree, right? And he's telling this tree, like, you're not going to produce any fruit. He's mad at a tree. You're looking at each other like, what on earth did we do? Verse 15 says, "On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. As he taught them, he said, 'Is it not written, my house will be called what? A house of prayer for all nations.'" God's house will be a house of prayer. If prayer is not happening in God's house, then it's not a house that belongs to God. Hello? He says, "But you've made it a den of robbers." They've turned the normal activities of the house of God into activities of gain and business pursuits and business success. And they've turned God's house into some sinful situation. Verse 18 says this, "The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching." Here comes Jesus into the temple, and he's disrupting stuff. He just got done cursing a tree, and now he's throwing tables around in the temple. It's a bold stuff. And it says that the religious leaders were afraid of him because the people were believing him. The people were seeing some things about him that threatened their way of existing. Verse 19 says, when evening came, they went out of the city. So they left. They went out of the city. And in the morning, verse 20, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots, the same fig tree that Jesus had just talked to. The fig tree that Jesus said, there will be no more fruit coming off of you. Peter, verse 21, remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look. And there's an exclamation point in my NIV Bible, which tells me that Peter's kind of surprised for whatever reason. He's surprised. He says, hey, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. It happened, Jesus. What you said would happen, happened. Now, those of us who live on this side of the cross, which is all of us, those of us who know the Lord, and those of us who know who Jesus is, this shouldn't be a surprise that he could and did do this. But Peter's still understanding some things about Jesus, still learning. And he's like, whoa. He just killed a tree by talking to it. If you're with us on Wednesday night, we're studying in the Gospel of Mark, chapter by chapter. It's probably a good idea to tune in or show up and be with us, because we're learning that Jesus is this putting his authority on display to the world. Exposing the world to who he is as Savior, as Lord and Savior. Here's what he says. Look at this. Here's Jesus' response in verse 22. He says, have faith in God. Jesus answered. He says this in verse 23. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. In verse 25, finally, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. This is a stunning moment in history. A stunning moment in the ministry of Jesus on earth, if you think about what's happening here. It took me a long time as a growing disciple, as I'm learning and growing in the Word. I've read this account so many times, and I remember sitting here thinking, why does he have to kill a tree to make his point? What does the tree have to do with anything he's saying about having faith in God and asking in his name and it'll be done? What does this tree have to do with anything? Again, if we have to understand the totality of what Mark's gospel, really Peter's account that Mark recorded, is what many believe. The whole point is to show the authority of God, is to show the authority of Jesus over all of creation. The power that comes from the kingdom of God. The power in the authority of God. And his answer to Peter, when Peter's surprised about what had happened, his answer to Peter was, have faith. Just believe, Peter. All you have to do is believe. I mean, there's a reason that Peter and all the other fellas just left what they were doing and went with Jesus in the first place. I think it was mostly the wrong reasons when it comes to the bigger picture and the end results, right? Because they thought they were going to go and be with a student of the man who was going to become the king of the Jews and take over Rome and make a great nation out of the Israelites. That's what was on their mind. And then when they see these amazing, might even be considered crazy type things that Jesus did, healing people, arguing and teaching the religious leaders of the day some things, challenging them, putting himself in danger. And then he goes up and just says, this tree don't have any fruit on it, so it's just gonna die. And it does. Do y'all believe God? It's not a trick question. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? I have to ask myself that often, because my immediate answer is obviously, well, duh, yeah, I trust God. Wouldn't, isn't that your answer? All y'all are sitting there right now, and you're saying, duh, preacher, y'all know we believe God. You know we trust God. And then the question becomes, then why? When we're talking to him, when we're praying about things, when we're seeking his will, why isn't our prayer life bigger than what it is? Why are my prayers so small? Why don't I ask God what I really want? Right? I don't want just two people to get saved today, Lord. I want everybody to get saved today. I want all the people to get saved today. Because God can do that. Every person I meet, Lord, I want them to be touched by you because I'm with you. Not just one person or two people. Not just one opportunity to love somebody or to worship God. Every opportunity, let me take advantage of. You want to know how strong your faith is? Evaluate how big your prayer life is. Evaluate how you talk to God and how you bring things to God. What do you expect from God? I'm not trying to challenge you so much as to just make you aware of something that maybe we just need to look at. Because if you're like me, it's like once you sit back and think about this and get with God about it, you're like, oh. Maybe I'm not bringing things to God in a way that matches who he is. Maybe I'm not. Maybe my prayer life hasn't been big enough to match the God of the universe, the God who created all of it, who has authority over it all. It's not really that I doubt God. It's not really that you or anyone else would doubt God. It's just that maybe we're not trusting him as much as we thought we did. The only conclusion I can come to in my own personal life, and maybe this is true for you or not, is that maybe I don't ask for God's provision or God's direction or the blessings or the opportunity, whatever it is I'm bringing, maybe I'm limiting it because I don't trust him enough. Because every preacher's praying that his church will be full of believers that are making more believers. Every preacher that I know is praying about that. And if we focus on the one or two that don't seem to want to stick around, and we live in that defeat, we're not trusting that God has five or six more that might come and be with us and be saved. Does that make sense? It's not that we don't believe God can and will do it. Here's something I thought about. I think it was three or four days ago. I'm riding. I think we were in, must have been Oklahoma or Arizona. I can't remember. And it just dawned on me this parable where this rich man plans on having this big meal, and he invites all his rich friends to come over. And it was only for them, reservation only. You got to come. You're invited. You can come. And then all his friends suddenly had something else to do, something else more important. They couldn't make it. They canceled at the last minute. He'd already made the meal. He'd already spent all his time and energy and money preparing this blessing for all of his so-called friends who were supposed to love him. And they just said, I got something else more important to do. So he tells the servants, go out in the streets and get anybody who wants to sit at this table and eat with me to come in here and eat. Free of charge. Anybody and everybody, bring them in here.
I believe that's the way the Lord wants each congregation of believers to function. Not that we don't care about everybody, not that we don't love everybody, but we're not gonna piddle around. We got disciples to make. We got things to do. We got gospel to preach. We got people to love. We got a God to praise. Everybody in the world is invited to come to God. We cannot dwell on those who refuse to come. We pray. We ask God to bless them. We ask God to change their heart. We even ask God to give us opportunity to make a difference in our relationship with those that refuse to come. But I think our prayer life needs to be bigger than that. I don't even know how many people live in our community right here. How many people are living in this area, the two or three counties right here? If we got 0.1% of the people that live in this area to come and be a part of this church and get saved and go out and make disciples, we couldn't handle it. And sometimes, maybe it's just a preacher thing, but sometimes the believers, we think we got to get everybody. We got to touch everybody. And everybody, if we don't get anybody. No, it's just whatever God is doing. God can do bigger things than we can ever imagine. You and I can have visions for what this church would look like if God continued to add to our number, or if God would just grow us, help us grow spiritually and help us to go out into the world and be a blessing. We can envision what that might look like, and I think that's a great thing to do, but we have to leave room for what God is doing. Right? Most of the times that I've gotten discouraged in my ministry, most of the times, is when my vision for what God wants to do with me doesn't match what God's vision is. And then, if that's the case, then my prayer life, what I'm asking of God, isn't within His will. And in those moments, it's because I'm either forgetting or neglecting to pay attention to how big God really is. That's when we thank God for His grace and mercy, because He knows we're a work in progress. Isn't it great? That's why faith is significant in your prayer life. Faith is the key. It's what turns the power loose in your prayer life. All these people that live behind the building here, how often are we praying that maybe they'll show up and have fellowship with us? How often are we praying that we would have an opportunity, or even create an opportunity, to share the gospel with them or just love them? Period. They have to drive by this building to get out of their house. And have you ever asked yourself why isn't it happening sometimes? Why isn't the community responding to what we're doing? They're responding to other believers, other churches, right? You ever look at that? Preachers do it all the time. It's like, what's that church doing different than what we're doing? But I'm not encouraging us to compare ourselves with other churches. God does what He wants to do with everybody. What I'm saying is, if we're about the Lord's business and we're talking to Him about it and we're having faith in what God can and will do, then this scripture that we're reading right here can be absolutely true for us. It can be absolutely true for you in your personal life, in your home, in the ministry that happens in your house. Verse 22, Peter was told, have faith. Have faith. Believe God. Trust Him. I don't know. I think I got off my outline right now. Oh, here we are. No, I'm good. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about faith, doesn't it? Verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. That means we don't have to see it. We don't even have to understand it. We just have to trust God. When He says, go into the world and make disciples and I'll be with you, trust Him that that's going to happen. When we get together as a congregation and we pray that God would bring people to us to help us serve and help us make disciples and people that might want to get saved and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and continue to serve, when we pray about those things, we should believe that it's going to happen. That's what Jesus is telling Peter. That's what the tree's all about. The tree has nothing to do with what Jesus is trying to teach, except for Jesus said, you will not produce fruit. So the tree died. And it says the tree died from the roots up, which is not how trees die. Which is more evidence that it was Jesus and his authority. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, as we've talked about for the last couple of months, what it really means to be a Christian, if you really trust God and you're really surrendered to him and you really want to have a powerful prayer life, you will trust that God hears those prayers. And if our will is his will and his will is our will, how can we lose? We're praying that we would be a mighty impact in this community for Christ. That's what we pray about. Not in our own might, in God's might. And if it's in God's might, there's no limit to that. We could change the world. We could change this community. If we just have faith in God. I think you guys are great prayer warriors. You're all the time talking about who to pray for and what to pray for and how to pray for it. You're all the time concerned and maybe even a little worried about some of the things that we pray about. That tells me that y'all care about people. Tells me that you really want God to intervene and get involved. But there's always room for a bigger prayer life. There's always room for bigger expectations from God. I don't want to just get by as a preacher. I don't want to show up in the presence of God and he'll say, yeah, you did good enough. You did all right. I want to be a great preacher. I want to be a powerful preacher for God. I want y'all to be powerful witnesses for Christ. A something to be reckoned with in this community because of the power of prayer. That's my prayer for y'all. Not because I want to be famous and well known and people to pat me on the back or come over here and say, those are the people from Oak Grove, they're awesome. No, I want people to look at me and you and what we do for God and say, What kind of God are they serving, and how do I get involved in that? And our answer is to them is going to be we're the kind of people that serve a God that talks to us, that listens to us, that tells us where to go, and goes with us, and has the authority over all of creation to make us be able to do what he wants us to do for him. Isn't that what y'all want? Isn't that what you're looking for? He just simply says, just have faith. Here's what happens when you have faith, Peter, verse 23. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. That is such a powerful verse right there. And it's difficult. Because everybody in this room and everybody hearing me talk right now knows that if I'd walk outside and speak to any one of these mountain ranges and says, throw yourself into the river down there, y'all know it ain't gonna happen. Because it's not God's will. It's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about the mountains in your life. He's talking about the things that are interrupting your walk with Christ, the things that are getting in the way of your ministry, the obstacles that Satan might put there that are way too big for you. And Jesus is saying to Peter and the rest of the fellas and me and you, he's saying, look, if you just trust me and communicate with me, I will teach you how to move those things or get around those things or go over those things. They will not be a problem for God, the mountains of our life. Isn't that great? I get frustrated. I'm just going to confess. I get frustrated pretty easy about certain things. A lot of it is when it comes to doing ministry and serving the Lord and making disciples and trying to figure out the best way to reach the community. It's frustrating at times. And it's only frustrating because we care. We love people. And we do want people to know Jesus. I get frustrated about folks that sit in church that either think they know Jesus or pretend they know Jesus, but they really don't. They're not fooling anybody. I get frustrated about it. Not because I'm mad at those kind of people. It's frustrating to me because the truth is right there and it's being ignored and it's harmful. And it's such a powerful thing. How can the most powerful thing in existence and we just ignore it? Sometimes. I'm talking about the power of prayer, y'all. Look at verse 6 of Hebrews. Hopefully this will wake us up. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without what Peter's being taught by Jesus, right there in verse 22, you can't please God. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't please God without faith. Believe him. When I say to y'all, do y'all believe God? Y'all is like, amen, I do. I believe God. If I say it 100 times, you'll sit here and say it 100 times. Because you believe God. But sometimes when we read this word, we say amen and hallelujah. But then when life happens, we're not trusting sometimes. Because it's obvious that we're not trusting because sometimes fear overcomes, right? Sometimes discouragement overcomes. 3,221 miles of repentance over discouragement. That's what that was. That's what it was. We stopped and ate barbecue in all them 15, 14, 13 places, however many places we ate barbecue. That was for me to stay distracted so I wouldn't think about all the work I got to do here. That's what it was. If I didn't do that, I'd be sitting here thinking about, okay, what sermon I got to write, what's doing this and whatever. And I had to get away. It's time to take a break. So I find something to do. And the Lord blessed me in it. And he talked to me the whole way. Showed me things. A lot of it I already knew. He just verified. It's time to get busy. It's time to act like your God is bigger than anything in this world. Right? That's who we are. We serve a God who's bigger than anything. And look, Hebrews teaches us that the door's open to him. And he wants us to come in. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to hear from him. He wants us to go and do things in his strength, in his authority, and in his power. And if we don't talk to him and we don't pray the way we ought to pray, then we're really hindering ourselves. We're hindering our own self, aren't we? You ever been stuck in the mud and you think the harder you press on the gas pedal, then maybe that'll work? And all you're doing is slinging more mud? You're not going anywhere just because you try harder. No. If you're stuck in the mud spiritually, then you go get with God. And you stay with him until he helps you get out. And trust that he can get you out and will get you out. Because he doesn't want us stuck there. He doesn't want us to be mediocre or lukewarm. He wants us to be on fire and be a powerful church in the world. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from each one of you as believers. That's what he wants from this preacher and every other preacher in the world. God wants to be glorified for who he is, for all of who he is, for his greatness, for his authority, for his power, for his strength, for his care, for his grace, for his mercy. For his sacrifice. For everything. And if our prayer life doesn't match who he is and what he's done, we're falling short, y'all. Every Sunday morning, we have a prayer time as a church. Everyone is invited. You don't even have to be a member of this church to show up and pray with us. We pray about the things on the prayer list. We should be praying about all the ministries that we've been discussing in the leadership meetings that we've been trying to have. The ones that I emailed to everybody, if you didn't get it, I'll be glad to share it with you. It was all about the different areas of ministry in this congregation that we're trying to use to serve the Lord and show people who I'm talking about, such as the prayer ministry. Most important ministry of the whole church is the prayer ministry. Every single one of us should be involved in the prayer ministry in some way, form, or fashion. There should be a few people who are gifted to pray over people and the elders along with them to just get together from time to time and lift up the needs in our congregation, lift up the community, lift up the direction of the church, get all of our missionaries that we support off the bulletin board and put them before the Lord and ask God to get involved. I don't even think many of us know what our missionaries do. We know who they are, but I think God wants us to be bigger than that, more involved in that. We ought to be communicating with them regularly. We ought to have a person or a couple of people that are in charge of communicating with our missionaries for the purpose of bringing to our congregation the needs that they have and the praises that they have so that we can be part of what they're doing. Instead of just sending money. Because the most powerful thing we can do is pray for anybody. They're out there doing the same work we're doing in some other place in the world. And I can promise you, the missionaries that I know about that we support, they pray for us. I know they do because they send us messages telling us that they are. It's time to get serious. It's time to get real. It's time to let God be who he really is, and it starts with our prayer life, y'all. Jesus is telling Peter, just trust me. Have faith. Trust in God's authority. You're a child of God. You have the Spirit of God living in you if you're saved. If you've committed your life to Christ and you've surrendered and repented, if you've done all of that Jesus teaches to be saved, then you have the power and the authority of God living in you. What is there to stop you? What is there to limit our prayer life? Why not ask God for the incredible or the unthinkable or the crazy? Right? Why not do things that are crazy? Why not walk in faith? Why not say, you know what? I'll tell you what happened. We moved into this house right outside here when we first come here. It was a temporary. We're like, let's stay there until we figure out where we're going to live. From UPS a week and a half after we moved here, I got a package. UPS driver pulls up, Christian man, after our conversation, I figured it out. You know, he said, you're the new preacher here? And I was like, yep. And he looked at me. This is my first interaction with anybody outside of this church, in this community. He looks at me and he was like, it's tough ministry out here. It's tough. He said it as a warning to me. The way he said it to me, I don't know if he meant it this way, but he said it to me as like a warning, like maybe you shouldn't unpack your bags. That's how I took it. And it was like a 1 second part of a conversation. I just looked at him. I'm like, well, whatever it is, God's bigger than that. Let's see what happens. You know, that was my response. Like, well, it's not something God can't handle. Right? I don't know why he said that or what his feelings were. But you know what? It's tough ministry everywhere in the world. People in this world don't know God. They don't want to know God. They don't love God. They love their sin, and they want to stay in that sin. The reason I know that is because all of us believers struggle. We struggle with, we're trying to stay close to God so that we don't get pulled away because of sin. It's hard, y'all. It's supposed to be hard. It's going to be hard. But it's not bigger than God. So we need to talk to him as if he's bigger than everything that we're talking to him about. And if his answers to the prayers aren't in line with the way we want them to be, then maybe we need to make adjustment and ask him, hey, can you help me get adjusted to your will? Instead of being mad because God didn't give me what I wanted. Or what I think I need. If God gave me what I need, then I'm hopeless. You understand what I mean? If things were fair, then Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. We're people of faith, y'all. We're people that trust God. We're people that believe God. We're people that walk around saying we're Christians, we're saved, we're serving a mighty God. We sing songs about a mighty God. We should be the most courageous people on the planet. I'm not mad, just passionate about it. Prayer. For the last 2 weeks, that's all that the Lord has been putting on my heart. Just talk to me. Listen to me. What's the concern? What are you worried about? What seems to be the problem? Sometimes I envision when God talks to me like that, or when God puts things on my heart like that, I kind of see him in my mind just kicked back in his holy recliner going, what's going on? What is the problem here? What are we all worked up over? And then I have to repent. I have to feel bad. I'm like, well, you're right. What was I thinking? Make sense? Hello? Worship ministry, outreach ministry, leadership growth ministry. These are things we got going on in our church. Men's and women's ministry. That has to be developed. That has to get strong, y'all. Because we got men and women falling away from the Lord all around the world here. Children and youth, the young people in this world need help. They need Jesus, y'all. Not because there's something wrong with them, because they're just like us, old people. They live in a world full of sin, and it's pulling them away. And if we don't love them enough to go get them, then we're failing. Hello? And here's, if you're like me, you're sitting back and you're saying, well, I would love to do that, but I don't know how to do it. Go talk to God. Ask God what to do. Preaching to myself today. Why do we have revivals, missions, all this stuff? We got stuff going. We got stuff to take to the Lord. We got stuff that God wants us to do. Faith is exercised. The more we pray, the more we talk to God, the more we see God answering prayers. The more we see God answering prayers, the stronger our faith gets, the more we trust him. Raise your hand if God has ever let you down. If God's ever failed you. Go ahead, raise your hand. Anybody? And nobody dares raise their hand because you know better. If God's ever failed you, never failed you, then why wouldn't we trust him? Why don't we trust him in all things? One of the most valuable things I've learned as a minister, as a preacher, as a Christian man, is that it's not the end of the world when God says no. It's not the end of the world when I'm a little bit out of line with what God's doing. It's not the end of the world. As long as I'm paying attention to him and listening to him when he's trying to get me back there. When he's trying to say, hey, no, we're not doing that. We're doing this over here. So come over here because I got something for you to do over here. And if I'm totally surrendered to him because I trust him, when I talk to him and when I listen to him, I'm going to respond to his will. And then whatever I ask in his name, he'll do it. And then when I say to the mountains in life or in the ministry, they're so big, I can move them away in the name of Jesus. You get what Jesus is teaching here. Some people get lost in what's going on with this tree. Some people get lost in this tree. They're so focused on this tree, and they're like, what kind of a God would kill a tree to make a point? I don't have an answer to that question. I don't care about that tree. I care about what Jesus is trying to teach us. The God who has authority over all of creation will kill a tree to make a point. That's the only answer I have. Verse 25. Here's the end. This is what we're going to finish with, and I'll land the plane. That was the last verse. Oh, don't forget James chapter 1. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, right? Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He's talking about being confident in your prayers, being confident when you trust God. He's talking about, look, if you ask God, if you go to God, then leave that prayer time being confident that God heard you and that God's going to have his way.
and that you're going to be fine with whatever he decides. Now, faith is demonstrated through this forgiveness. He's telling, this is the last thing he tells of Peter in this lesson, verse 25. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Remember the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6 of Matthew, and it's other places, but it's chapter 6 of Matthew. At the end of that Lord's Prayer, model prayer, most people don't go and study this part of it because they don't like to hear it, but it says, if you don't forgive your brother, you can't be forgiven. That's what Jesus teaches. And if you can't be forgiven, you're not saved. And if you're not saved, you don't get to tap into this power of prayer. That's why this is here. That's why he's telling Peter. He's like, hey, because Peter was excited. He's like, ooh, we're trying to be like Jesus, right? They're following Jesus to learn how to be like Jesus. And Peter's like seeing this dead tree, and he's like, whoa. How'd you do that? And Jesus is telling him how to do it. Trust God. Trust in his authority. Live in his power. And you and I, who are saved, we know how to do that. If we believe that Jesus is Christ, we submit to him as Lord and Savior. We repent of sin. We're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we step into his righteousness, as we discussed in our Sunday morning Bible study. We step into his righteousness, his authority, his power, his strength. There's nothing that you can take to the Lord that he won't respond to. Right? That's what I just read. There's power in prayer, y'all. The biggest question I've had on my heart over the last probably year and a half about my ministry, the church, the congregation, the ministry of the congregation, what do we do and how do we do it? That's the biggest thing I've dwelled on, trying to figure out what are the answers. And we can go through every program in the church and say, we got to do this better, we got to do that different, we got to do this like that, or we got to do this over here like that. And God's telling me, and God's saying to us, just pray about it. Talk to God about it. Take it to the Lord. And let him show us how big he really is. If we could take it in. If we could really take it in that much. And then I would say, buckle up. If you really trust God, buckle up. Because it's going to be a ride. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And he'll get all the glory. Let me read this to you, and we'll sing our invitation. The same Hudson Taylor missionary. It's a testimony about when Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to begin his missionary work. His ship was in great danger. The wind had died, and the current was carrying them toward sunken reefs, which were close to islands inhabited by cannibals. So close that they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In this journey, Taylor recorded what happened next. The captain said to me, well, we've done everything that can be done. A thought occurred to me, and I replied, no, there's one thing we have not done yet. And what is that? The captain inquired. Four of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer, ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze. Basically, he's saying, let's go pray that the Lord would blow some wind into our sails. Taylor prayed briefly, and then, look, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. What would be the good of that? He answered. I told him we had been asking a wind from God, that it was coming immediately. And then within minutes, the wind did begin to blow, and it carried them safely past the reefs. Taylor wrote, thus God encouraged me, ere landing on China's shore to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required. This is a missionary to China who was in danger of being shipwrecked and falling into the hands of these not-so-friendly people. And it seems crazy. It seems like one of those crazy-type testimonies where he says, I went and asked God to blow wind, immediately, and then he ran up and said he did it immediately. It's such a testimony, it's almost unbelievable. It's one of those almost unbelievable testimonies. Like, is he making that up? And the answer to that question is, well, how big is God? How much do you trust God? Is that something that God could do or even would do? My God can do anything, the God I believe in. My God can do things I haven't even thought of and would never think of. I want to encourage us as a congregation to become powerful people of prayer more and more every day. Not just here at the church, not just over the ministry of the church, not just over the prayer list, the sick and the needy, but over the ministry of your life and of the church. Trust God. And encourage one another to trust God. If one of us, we get done with the prayer time and one of us has any doubt, let's help each other. I don't know. If I doubt, y'all are coming to me and saying, no, that's not who God is. We believe it's different. And we encourage each other away from doubt if we really trust God, if we really believe, right? I don't know what it is sometimes that gets us in a little bit of a funk in our prayer time. I think it happens to everybody from time to time. But I know when I first got saved, and even when I first went into ministry, that's all I did was pray. Somewhere along the way, can happen. You can lose the power of prayer if you're not careful. I know y'all love the Lord, and I know y'all talk to God. I'm just encouraging you. Let's go see how powerful He really is. Let's give Him our biggest prayers. Let's turn it over to Him as if He really is bigger than all of creation. All of it, every bit of it. I love you and the Lord loves you. Let's stand together. I'm going to have prayer right now. And after we pray, we're going to sing together. You can keep praying. You can just keep playing while I'm praying. And then, if you have a decision to make, if you're not saved, now's the time. You have no hope if you're not tapped into this power. You just believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life. Repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's all it takes. And then we continue on together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We surrender to you all of it, every bit of it, our hearts, our minds, our souls. Together, Lord, as this church congregation, Lord, we ask your presence, we ask your faithfulness, we ask you to make us aware of it all. Help us, Lord, to see your mighty greatness, not only in our own lives, but the lives of the people around us, the people that live around this church, the folks who are close to God, the folks who are far away from you. We just ask your power and strength to enter into their lives and touch each one of us. Help us to be great and mighty servants for your kingdom. Help us to give you the glory. Help us to expose the world to you and your greatness, because we believe you, because we trust you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's sing together.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed? in the blood of the Lamb.
Verse 4.
Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. As we get ready to be finished with our time together this morning, I want to have one more time of prayer, really a time of thanksgiving prayer. We live in a place in this world where God has blessed us richly. And today this weekend is a time where we're supposed to be celebrating the freedoms that God has blessed us with. And that very celebration itself is under attack in this world. And freedom in this world, is the way we know it, isn't guaranteed, is it? Freedom in Christ is guaranteed, but not freedom in this world. So celebrate your freedom in this country, because there's a lot of people that God used to die for that freedom and serve for that freedom and sacrifice. Not just the soldiers, but the families of those soldiers. It's not something to just take lightly, is it? America is blessed because God allowed it to be blessed, because people trusted him. People believed him. Their prayers were big enough to ask him for these kinds of blessings, and it seems like sometimes it's under attack, doesn't it? But we can still celebrate today and tomorrow and the rest of our, we should live like somebody died for us. So we're going to sing this hymn together to close today after I pray. America the Beautiful, y'all know it. It's going to be on the screen, I hope. And y'all help me sing it, because I'm not doing as good as Brother Frank when it comes to leading the hymns, but I do the best I can. But let's just pray and thank the Lord for those things. Lord, we once again come before you, and we're so grateful. We're so grateful to be living in a part of this world that you've created, where you have given so many blessings that we many times take for granted, the blessings. Help us to honor you by the way that we live in this free country. Help us to stand firm in our faith and stand firm in what you want for this country and really for the world. But help us, Lord, to celebrate this freedom this weekend appropriately, in a way that honors you and gives you the glory. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices and the hardships that have come throughout the years, to all the families and all the people that have served and fought for this freedom and sacrificed and died. Lord, it's all because you allow it. So we thank you for it. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and I love you, and we'll sing and be dismissed.